Last week, what did we talk about last week?
Anguish.
We got a couple over here remember the video more than they remember my sermon. I see how that works. Just start shooting video and putting it up here. I can sit down. Somebody over here said, I believe Stephanie, concern. It was. It was the difference between concern and anguish, or concern and brokenness. And I think a lot of times we as Christians, we are concerned about the lost, but we aren't broken for the lost. And as I told you last week, I talked with a group of people here not long ago, part of Grace Baptist Church, and they told me that they believed that was characteristic of our church. And it doesn't mean each individual's that way. I know there are some in here that are broken over the lost. But if that is a true characteristic of Grace Baptist Church, folks, that has to change. And it's got to change starting right up here with this guy. That's where it's got to change. So I want to kind of just pick up on that from last week. Ain't every day you go around preaching about lost people, but I think maybe we need it. You know, in a sense, if you're a Christian, you actually have two sets of eyes. Now, I'm not talking about those of you wearing glasses, okay? You have a pair of physical eyes, and you have a pair of spiritual eyes. God gave us physical eyes so that we could see the physical things of the world. But when a person is born again, God gives them a set of spiritual eyes. Actually, not here, but here. That allows us to see things in this world in a way that lost people can't see it. For example, when Jesus walked on the earth, he saw things with his physical eyes just like everybody else did. When the disciples saw the waves crashing into the boat, Jesus saw that also. Jesus saw the landscape of Israel in the same way the people saw it. The sunshine looked the same to Jesus as it did to everyone else. But through his spiritual eyes, Jesus was able to see people in ways that nobody else could see them. And that is what I want to focus on this morning. Specifically, how does Jesus see lost people? How does Jesus see lost people? How does Jesus see those who have yet to yield or surrender their life to him yet? Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. When you get there, say, help me to see the lost the way Jesus does. Matthew chapter 9. That just wasn't real enthusiastic. I know you're trying to read and get it out. I understand. All right, Matthew chapter 9. Now, before we look at some verses here, I want you to just take a second, and I want you to think of someone or some people that you believe or that you know does not believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It could be a spouse, it could be a friend, a relative, a neighbor, a co-worker, a grandparent, your own child, whoever it is. Who comes to mind when you think of lost people? I want you to just kind of keep them in the forefront of your thinking as we go through this lesson today. I want you to think about the people you work with, maybe, that's not Christians. Keep them right here. Verses 35 and 36 of Matthew 9. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. First thing I want to point out, folks, is that phrase, when he saw the crowds. When he saw the crowds, folks, that goes beyond Jesus just kind of looking upon the people out there. It goes beyond him just looking at him through his physical eyes and thinking, well, why is that guy dressed like that? That guy needs to pull up his baggy pants. It keeps him from thinking, why is that lady dressed so sleazy? It keeps him from thinking, man, that lady needs to put something on that's more appropriate. It keeps him from thinking, that guy needs to get his long, straggly hair cut. Keeps him from thinking, you know, that lady looks dumb with that nose ring. It keeps him from thinking, why are those people over there using such foul language? It keeps him from thinking, that person over there looks like a slob. They need to clean themselves up a little. That word saw there in verse 36 means a lot more than just taking a glance at the crowd. It means to observe. It means to give attention to. It means to turn our minds toward. In other words, Jesus looked at them through His spiritual eyes. He looked beyond the physical appearance, which is where a lot of times I quit looking. And He looked into their hearts. And once He did that, it says that He saw them to be like sheep without a shepherd, harassed and helpless. Folks, I don't know if you know this or not. We talked about sheep in Sunday school this morning. Sheep are actually mentioned in Scripture almost 400 times. Sheep are in Scripture almost 400 times. And so several years ago, believe it or not, I did a study on sheep and shepherding. But not in the United States. I did a study on sheep and shepherding in the Middle Eastern countries, in Europe. And I thought, you know, I thought it's just going to really be boring to study sheep. It ended up, it was actually pretty interesting. Because you learn a lot about humans when you study sheep. It's one reason sheep is mentioned so much in Scripture. That's why Jesus refers to us as sheep, lost people as sheep. Sheep without a shepherd. There are some similarities in the sheep here in the United States and on the other side of the world, but the big difference in the United States, sheep are usually kind of kept in pens or fenced in areas. And they're given their food as opposed to how they do things on the other side of the world where they're raised out in the open plains and on rocky hillsides. They don't have fences around them. One of the most common descriptions I read was that sheep, and we talked about this in Sunday school, is this. Left to themselves are some of the dumbest animals on the face of the planet. And Jesus calls us sheep. Oh, geez. You know, sheep will have a tendency to eat what's around them. But if there's no shepherd to lead them to other grazing areas, they will lay down and go hungry. Sheep are ignorant about which plants can give them nourishment. Sheep are clueless about which plants will poison them. They're known for getting stuck in the thorns and the briars. Sheep are also known for just wandering off alone, failing to realize that they're even lost. They're clueless to the dangers around them. They're clueless to the coyotes and the mountain lions that just seek to devour them. Sheep are completely defenseless against their enemies. And when you translate that over to people, you can see why when Jesus looked at that group of lost people before Him through His spiritual eyes, He described them to be harassed and helpless, like or in the same way as sheep without a shepherd. When Jesus looks upon the lost people and unbelievers through His spiritual eyes, He sees them to be creatures that are ignorant about the truths and the facts that can give them nutrition. The nutrition that they need so they can have a healthy understanding of life. When Jesus looks at unbelievers through His spiritual eyes, He sees creatures that are clueless about which myths and philosophies and morals and standards will poison them emotionally and relationally and spiritually. That is why lost people will buy into the fallacies of evolution. That's why unbelievers are accepting the different religions or even making up their own belief system. That's why unbelievers are okay with just living together and having sex outside of marriage. That's why divorce is an accepted solution to a husband and wife that can't get along. They're blind. They just don't get the truths of these things. That's why lost people are okay with being entertained with immorality, and they have no idea that it's poisoning their minds. That's why verse 36 tells us Jesus had compassion on them. His heart was broken for them because he sees lost people as creatures who unknowingly feed on things that will harm them and hurt them. He wants to be their shepherd so that he can care for them and lead them to things in life that will bring them emotional, relational, and spiritual health. When Jesus looks at lost people and unbelievers through his spiritual eyes, he sees them as creatures that are stuck in the thorns and the briars of life. That's why lost people keep doing the things they do. That is why sin is a way of life for them. They're stuck in it. They can't get away from it. As a matter of fact, they don't even realize they're stuck. And that is why it says in verse 36 that Jesus had compassion on them. He wants to help them get loose from the snags of life and heal their emotional and their relational wounds that they received from the thorns and briars that's been pricking at them over the years. When Jesus looks upon lost people and unbelievers through his spiritual eyes, he sees them to be creatures that are clueless to the dangers around them. He sees them to be defenseless against their spiritual enemies. He sees unbelievers as creatures that are unaware that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking to devour them, as it says in 1 Peter 5:8. Jesus sees them as not having a chance against Satan. When Jesus looks up on a lost person, he sees them to be a victim of a spiritual bully. And that is why it says in verse 36 that Jesus had compassion on them. He wants to help them be alert to how Satan is at work in their lives. He wants them to be alert that Satan actually wishes to devour them and destroy them. He wants to teach them how to defend themselves against the bully, Satan. When Jesus looks upon lost people and unbelievers through his spiritual eyes, he sees them as just kind of aimlessly wandering through life. They have no sense of direction, which is one reason they're referred to as lost. They have no idea that as they wander through life, they're always just a step away from walking right off the cliff of eternity. That is why it says in verse 36 that Jesus had compassion on them, because he so much wants to show them the way to life instead of death. And so when Jesus sees an unbeliever through his spiritual eyes, he sees them as sheep without a shepherd. He doesn't see them as immoral. He doesn't see them as an adulterer. He doesn't see them as a homosexual, foul-mouthed, blasphemous, lazy, crackhead, low-life, liar, scam artist, thief, fool, whatever we call people when we see them through the physical eyes. He doesn't see them that way. When he looks at them through his spiritual eyes, he sees them as hopeless creatures that are completely clueless and ignorant about life and eternity, and his heart breaks for them. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This is Jesus, and he's reading a prophecy that had been written about him in the Old Testament, and it's a reference to him, and it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." Folks, right there in that, we see four metaphors or four images of how Jesus sees the lost. Unbelievers are poor. What he's saying is they're spiritually bankrupt. Unbelievers are poor. They're spiritually bankrupt. They have absolutely nothing they can offer God that will allow them to enter God's heaven. They will not be able to buy their way into heaven. Even if they took all their good deeds and combined them into one box and handed them to the Lord, it will not buy their way into heaven. And so they're spiritually poor, and Jesus sees them that way. That's how we need to see that. Unbelievers are prisoners. They're ensnared by the devil, as 2 Timothy 2:25 tells us. Here's what Timothy said, or here's what Paul said in the book of 2 Timothy. He said, "Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will." Folks, that's a lost person. They don't know it, but they are ensnared by the devil. He has taken them captive to do his will, and they don't even know it. Ephesians 2:2 says that unbelievers follow the ways of Satan, who is the ruler of the world. 1 John 5:20 says that lost people are under the control of the evil one. Folks, your lost loved ones, whoever comes to your mind when you think of lost people, they have no idea, folks, that they live in a world of Satan's prison. They have no idea of it. And that without Jesus, they have no idea that they're serving a life sentence. And that the sentence they're serving will end with a death penalty. And because they fail to see themselves as a prisoner in Satan's prison, they fail to realize that they need Jesus to set them free. We saw in that verse also that Jesus sees unbelievers as blind. Meaning they just can't see the light of truth because their hearts are darkened. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the God of this age, obviously a reference to Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. In other words, folks, Satan has hindered them from being able to see the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lost people lack spiritual discernment. That is why I went through this a few weeks ago. When you share the gospel with a lost person and they just don't get it, and you're left thinking, did I miss something? Should I share this or that with them? No. They don't get it. They've been blinded. They can't see the truth as you put it out there. They can't comprehend the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's like trying to get a blind person excited about the colors of a rainbow. They can't grasp it. Unbelievers cannot see that Jesus is the only one that can open up the spiritual eyes of their heart and remove their spiritual blindness. And then Jesus, it goes on to say that Jesus sees some lost people as being oppressed, meaning that they're just burdened down with the weights of life. They feel guilty, or the pressures of guilt with regards to sin in their life. It could be they're just brokenhearted over some things they've done in the past. And because they're blind, they can't see that Jesus wants to just set them free from all that guilt. He wants to release them from their burdens. Psalm 147:3 says, "God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Lost people are blind. They can't see that. Let me give you a few more descriptions from Scripture about how God sees lost people. Colossians 1:28 tells us that unbelievers are considered to be alienated from God. In other words, they're just cut off from God. There's a separation between them and God. They might believe in God, but they're on one side of the cross and God's on the other side of the cross. They might believe in God, but they're not on the same side of the cross. They might talk about God, but they don't have fellowship with God. And that same verse, as well as Romans 5:10, says that God sees lost people to be his enemies. They think different than God. They live life contrary to the way God would have them live it. They pursue things in life that God says they should not pursue. They might believe in God, but they aren't loyal to God. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was lost, I would have never believed that I was an enemy of God's. I still believed in him. Most lost people know that they do things from time to time that upset God. They get that. But very few unbelievers ever consider themselves to be God's enemy. But it goes back to the fact that they're spiritually blind to the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:1 says that God sees unbelievers to be dead in their sins and transgressions. Because lost people choose sin over God, God sees them to be spiritually lifeless. They're physically alive, but they're spiritually dead. And let me give you one more. Scripture says that God sees unbelievers to be hopeless. Hopeless. That don't sound very encouraging, does it? In other words, they have no hope of finding true joy, true peace, true contentment in this life. They have no hope of an eternal future in heaven. They're hopeless. Their future home will be one where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever, as Scripture says. Folks, it is because Jesus saw the lost people around him through his spiritual eyes that it moved him to have compassion on them. Turn to Mark chapter 6. I want you to see something. Mark chapter 6. This is the story of Jesus feeding the thousands, the multitudes. And I want to look at verse 34. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had... there's that word compassion on them. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Folks, if you read this whole story, now we always hear it as the story of feeding the 5,000. If you read that, it's only 5,000 men. It doesn't include the women and children. So you're looking at a crowd here of about 20 to 25,000 people that Jesus is looking upon. I don't know if you ever thought about this story like this, but folks, there's almost twice as many people in this crowd as there is in all of Vinton County. And so when Jesus looked out over that crowd, he saw people from all walks of life. There were criminals in that crowd. There had to have been alcoholics. There had to be homeless people in that crowd. There were people living immoral lives. There were people there that was rich and poor. There were children in that crowd. There were mothers and fathers and grandparents. And there were aunts and there were uncles in that crowd. There were farmers in that crowd, business owners, waitresses and fishermen and woodworkers and secretary and stay-at-home moms. There were good people in that crowd. There was religious people in that crowd. But when Jesus looked across that crowd, he focused on their spiritual condition. And as a result, it says he had compassion upon them. It broke his heart. He focused on their spiritual condition. As a result, it broke his heart for them. As a result of his broken heart for them, he began sharing with them the truths of God's Word. I want to repeat a verse for you that I brought out last week. And it's 2 Corinthians 5:16, where the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view." Paul learned not to see people or look at people as they are here on earth, but he looked at who they are through the eyes of God in heaven. See, when we look at people with a worldly point of view, we make worldly conclusions about them. And that means we will never get beyond just a general conversation with them. It'll always be talking about the weather, the sports, the hobbies, the work, the kids, the shopping, the politics. That's all the further that conversation goes, because we look at them through a worldly point of view. But if we learn to look at unbelievers through the eyes of God, we will begin seeing them as people who are spiritually blind. Our hearts will break for them, and we will want to open up their eyes to Jesus Christ. If we look at them through our spiritual eyes, we will see that they're spiritually bankrupt, and we want to share with them the riches of our Lord Jesus. If we look at them through our spiritual eyes, we'll see them as eternally hopeless, and we'll want to talk to them about the hope they can find through the King of Kings. If we look at them through as lost people through spiritual eyes, we'll see them ensnared by Satan. We'll want to tell them how they can be free. You look at them through your spiritual eyes, and you'll see that they're stuck in the thorns and briars of life, and you'll want to begin to tell them how they can find comfort through their Lord. Looking through your spiritual eyes at lost people, you'll seem to be alienated from God. You'll see that they're enemies of God. And you'll want to tell them how they can be united with God and be a friend of God's, as we sang about last week. If you look at lost people through your spiritual eyes, you'll see them to be spiritually dead. And you won't tell them how they can have eternal life through your Savior. As I begin to wrap this up, how do we develop eyes that will look beyond the worldly point of view of people? How do we cultivate eyes that will see unbelievers in their spiritually destitute condition? I think first and foremost, if you're going to develop a heart for the lost, you better develop a heart for God. Now, I know that sounds kind of funny. We're in church. But if you want to develop a heart for the lost, you have to start by developing a heart for God. If you don't desire to grow in your knowledge and understanding of the Lord, if you don't think about God throughout the day, if you don't have regular conversations with God, you will never develop a heart for the lost. Never. It's impossible. Secondly, you have to spend time in God's Word reading about how He views unbelievers. According to Romans 12:2, we need to have our minds renewed and transformed. Ephesians 4:23 says we need to be made new in the attitude of our minds. And folks, time in the Word of God is the only thing that can do that. Christian that does not spend time in God's Word will never develop a heart for the lost. Never. It's impossible. Thirdly, and this may be an odd one, the third step in developing a heart for the lost is think about who they can become. Think about who they can become. The verse you guys probably all know, Ephesians 5:17, says, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Don't get stuck in the worldly point of view seeing who they are. Look at who they can become through Christ Jesus. As Doreen comes up to play our closing song, it's going to be hymn 320. Let me just kind of speak for a minute to anybody in here that maybe you've not yielded yourself to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Here's what I can tell you. He wants to be the shepherd of your life. He wants to care for you. He wants to nourish you. He wants to feed you. He wants to develop you. He wants to love you. He does not want to see you continue going through life as a wounded sheep. He doesn't want you to continue to be blind about the things of spiritual things. He doesn't want you to remain spiritually dead. He wants to give you life. How do you surrender yourself to the Lord? You just simply say, Lord, I've lived a life contrary to your wishes. I have chosen sin over you. And I ask that you forgive me, Lord. And I ask that you come into my heart and change me and make me a new creature. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do because you'll have to humble yourself to do it. But it is absolutely the best thing you'll ever do. And there are many in here that can testify to that. So if you're here this morning, you've never surrendered yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm asking you to do it today. I was talking with someone here a few weeks ago, and I was sharing the gospel with them. And they were seeking a Jesus that could fix their circumstances. And I just kept reiterating over and over, it's a commitment. It's not accepting Jesus so he'll fix tomorrow for me. That's what they call trying Jesus. You can't try Jesus. He's looking for a commitment. He's looking for a yielding. He's looking for a surrender. He's looking for your loyalty. He's looking for you to be allegiant. Give him your allegiance. If you're here today and you're ready to humble yourself to do that, you can do it right where you're at. Just pour your heart out to God. You can come up here during this song and talk to me, and we'll go from there. But don't leave here continuing to be a blind sheep that is spiritually dead.